Hello, friends. It's Pat here. So this week we are doing a deep dive into. Someone's calling me. I'll call them back. We're doing a deep dive into Forever Halloween and the making of that record and kind of what our headspace was. We just kind of hop into it and start talking about it. So here it is. I hope you enjoy the conversation. What's that key?
Is it C? I think every harmonica is C. Oh, yeah, C. Just kidding. Every harmonica is not C.
I was thinking...
Nice harmonica.
What? I was just thinking about when I went to pee, because we were talking about like beginning to record this, and... I was thinking, like, most times we go to make a record, there's not really, like, one day that, like, changes the course of the entire record. You know, usually it's, like, many days spent talking about it and then, like, writing and pre-pro, and then it, like, everything, like, changes and, like, evolves, you know?
Over time.
Yeah, over time.
Yes.
But I was thinking about for Forever Halloween... how when we met with Ryan Adams and how that is the reason that that record is the way it is.
Yes.
For the most part.
100%.
Yeah. And it's crazy.
He was supposed to make that record.
Yeah. Which is crazy. So what, initially... He had sent, I can hear that.
It's fine. Sorry.
Stop fucking fidgeting, man.
You're spinning.
I know, but I'm not touching the mic, you know.
Whatever.
He sent a tweet about, no, a fan posted a tweet about us and he responded to it.
No, you want to know what happened?
It has to do with Halvo.
Yes. So. Halvo was in
originally,
Australia,
yeah,
with Rocket,
yeah,
and he was there,
yeah,
and Halvo went up to go like say like he liked him and asked for a photo, and then he was like in some conversation and was like bummed.
like a deep conversation about like a friend who had like passed away or something,
yeah, and was bummed, and then Halvo was like that was a bummer and like tweeted that was like a bummer. So a bunch of fans started like tweeting at him,
attacking Ryan Adams, calling him an asshole.
Yeah, and then somehow someone must have tagged me with it, and that was his way of connecting and say, "Hey, tell Halvo." He sent me a direct message. Tell Halvo, yeah. I said sorry or something.
Yeah,
I was like, "What the fuck? This is fucking bizarre."
I mean, and then he was levied, like your favorite singer.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Yeah.
And it quickly went from that to, hey, I have a studio in L.A. Come by, let's make a record. I was like, what? How did this happen?
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
And then we're on the Pioneer Tour.
Yeah, we're at the...
Grove
of Anaheim, yeah. And we rented a car, and us and Tim... drove out, and we went to PacSam.
Yeah.
And we weren't sure, because he really wasn't talking much about making a record beforehand.
No.
He was just like, come
the studio.
Come check out the spot.
And we were like, what is this? What does that mean?
Yeah. Which we were just so excited to see it.
Yeah.
And, you know, we walk in, and it's just like literally the coolest place ever. And I think that really like sparked my like romantic feelings towards recording studios. I feel like, you know, like I love being around it.
Yeah.
Like there's nothing more like magical to me than like,
well, cause you feel like you're a god.
You can do anything.
Do whatever you want.
Yeah.
And be bizarre.
Yeah.
But yeah, met with him there. And then by the end, well, he said some crazy shit. Like, what did he say about porn?
Well, yeah, no. So like we walked around, he like gave us a tour of the whole spot. And then he started like,
he had the gold,
slowly,
the flag, the American flag from gold.
Yeah.
Hanging up in the rehearsal room. Yeah.
It was like becoming clearer and clearer as he was giving us the tour, that he was like trying to pitch us on like he wanted to record us.
Yeah.
And we're just like, oh my God, like, yes, of course, you know.
Yeah.
And so yeah, over time, you know, we were just talking, and yeah, he started talking about how he records and,
well,
how
we went to lunch, and yeah, he was like, well, like, what do you guys like listening to? And at the time, I think Some Girls from the Stones was like,
yeah,
was like fucking like that was
our favorite album. Yeah,
yeah. And he's like, well, let's make that record. And we're like, huh?
What, so we just make like our version of that? He's like, yeah.
And we're like, oh
yeah. So then we went back to the studio, and he you know, he starts telling us about all the different gear, you know. And he had this piece of gear, it's like a compressor, and he was saying that like he could have bought a yacht, but instead he bought that.
He's like, yeah, that's Neil Young's. I could have bought a boat for that.
Yeah. Like, and then they started talking about the tape machines, and like I guess this is really where the story becomes a part of what happened for Forever Halloween. But he said computers, you can send an email to check in with your mom, you can watch porn on it, but a tape machine is only meant to make music, and so he's gonna go for that instead. He's gonna
use that tool.
Yeah.
And then I see Pat's eyes just going, this all makes sense, and the gears are going. And then all of a sudden,
so from that point on, it was like, okay, that's how we're making a record. That this is how our favorite records are made.
Yeah.
And we're gonna do that, because that was so far like removed from what we, you know, had ever done.
Well, in our heads, it was always like, it was like something we wanted to do. Because it was like, oh, band, that's what they used to do. And yeah, like, and in our heads, it was just like, oh, that's what cool bands do.
Yeah, you know? yeah.
Not knowing the process of it and how difficult it is or any of it. You're just like, yeah, we'll just do it like that.
Yeah.
And
so,
then,
yeah, so like we'd been talking to him then, and he wanted to make a record. And just like, he's a scatterbrained dude, as I'm sure he would admit to.
He wanted to do it like the next week, and we're like, dude, we have no songs.
He's, yeah,
like, we'll write them.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. So just like the timing just didn't,
yeah, timing
work
didn't
out. Like,
out.
We just didn't feel comfortable making it like right then, and making it in like 10 days and all this stuff like he like would have wanted to do. And
but we would have had one of the best songwriters of yeah, the past 20 years in the room.
Yeah.
Could have helped a little bit.
Yeah. So yeah, that didn't, you know, work out, which was a bummer. So then I kind of went on a hunt to, you know, then I had the idea in my head of like, oh man, like, all right, working with like an artist is like the way to do it then. Cause like every other, producer we worked with, you know, it is not like a guy that's active in a band, it's just like, yeah, a guy that makes albums all day for other bands. So we were just banging our heads against the wall for a long time, and I don't usually partake in marijuana, but I did that night. We were in Nashville, and I was just hanging out in my bunk, just like going through my iPod. I had an iPod at the time. And Brennan Benson popped up And we are all huge fans of the Raconteurs.
Yeah.
And thought those records were just incredible.
Well, and it didn't seem like it was just Jack White.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, oh, Brennan has like
a huge part
like
in this. Yeah.
Equal part of this super band. And we knew his solo stuff and whatnot too. So it was like, but it wasn't like, you know, we were the most massive fans of his solo stuff. But
yeah, I mean, I just remember, I mean, do you remember I like walked out of my bunk and like you guys were all just like hanging in the back lounge, I think. And I was just like,
Brennan Benson. I'm like, whoa, that's interesting. And like, cause you, I think at that point you'd already looked that he had a spot.
And he recorded to tape and like all the cool stuff that
And we're like, that seems impossible.
And I think we got an email back like the same day.
Yeah.
Which doesn't happen. And yeah, he was down to do it.
Yeah. And then that was
crazy.
We
started writing songs, and I mean, I'm trying to think, like, do you remember what, like, headspace we were at during that time? Like, what our mission was? Like,
it was definitely, I feel like, most don't give a fuck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I remember feeling like we weren't really aiming for anything besides to just make a cool record for ourselves.
Yeah.
Like,
and I guess that's what I mean. Like,
yeah,
don't give a fuck, but
what anybody else would think or anything like that.
Yeah, and it was like right when John started playing piano, like, mm-hmm. and so I think that influenced a lot of it.
Yeah.
It's like Take What You Can Carry, like originally sounded like this like Silver Chair song. It was like really like piano driven and I think it was like one of the first ones we worked on.
Yeah.
And then like These Four Words was like I think around for a while. Yeah. Or at least Forever Halloween the song was just piano. Yeah. So it was like a lot of piano based things and I think it kind of like shaped the feeling like because at that point, it was all guitar, like all
before
like,
that, yeah,
all guitar
everything
stuff.
Everything can be written on guitar.
You know, he could kind of like poke around on a piano, but like this was like he's like a pretty good piano player now, and so it just kind of and piano does this thing; it's like instantly moody.
Yeah,
and I think that's kind of like molded the whole record to what it ended up being. So it's like the dark tone through the whole thing
comes from those chords.
Yeah, it comes from. Different version, like you play piano different than you play guitar.
Yeah.
And so like,
and then when you translate a piano song onto guitar, it still kind of keeps some of that.
Yeah.
Like some of the chord changes and stuff we would just never have
done,
and we wouldn't do again. You know it. And like, Brendan had you know once we actually got into record, he also kind of kept that going. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just feel like. Yeah, I mean, we were just kind of writing, and we weren't really, we didn't have a clear vision. It was just kind of like, let's write songs that we think are cool.
Yeah.
And so then we went, we drove out to Nashville, what, we got there, and the first day, what do you remember from that?
I remember...
Because it's like the first time that we had met him. You know, we only talked to him on the phone once, and I think it was only like me and John maybe on the call.
Yeah,
and we didn't really have a clear idea of like what the process was going to be like.
Yeah, you know, normally we do this thing called pre-production, which is usually a week or two of usually around a week of just going over the songs and fixing them up.
And picking which songs you're going to make on the record. Because we write, you know, a bunch of songs and then we pick.
And so, in our heads, we're going there. First week's going to be that. We just hadn't talked about it. first thing we come in and we kind of go over some songs just to get a start. He hears Happy. Like, I think, I don't even know if he heard the whole fucking song. He's like, oh, that's cool. He's like, let's do that one. And we're like, okay.
What do you mean,
Yeah. And so he starts setting up the drums, miking it up. We're all in this one room. It started with us all in one room. Yeah. Like, John's vocal mic was in the same room as
your drum set. He had some, like, mic. It was like a broadcaster mic from, like, the 60s or something that he said, like, they used to use, like, during, like, a thunderstorm. So it would, like, block out a lot of the outside noise.
Yeah.
So he was trying to see if
it would work.
If it would block out enough of, like, the drums and stuff.
And so we're, like, halfway setting up how to record, and then the other half, like, he pulls a fucking acoustic out and's like, let's start working on it. And then we're like figuring out the fucking song, and
we don't even know what we're doing. We don't even know, like, is this recording, is this pre-pro, like, what is this?
Yeah.
And then we're like slowly just like discovering that he's just like, no, this is how the song's being recorded.
Yeah, so I think there's probably one take where John's in the room with like cymbals going psh, 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 like in the mic. Yeah. And quickly he was like, yeah, that's not going to work.
So he put John out in the hallway.
And then amps and stuff. You know, I'm in this weird...
In a closet or in like a back room or whatever.
Yeah, and then so we start fucking hatching out this song like as we're recording it. So it's like fucking... Hey, skip the beat there. What do you call it?
Skip the beat. Yeah.
Which is really cool.
Yeah.
And I remember him saying that, and you're like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
And they did it. It was like, oh, that's cool. It's a cool little trick.
Yeah.
And then that's pretty much all he said on that song besides then.
Yeah.
And then, like, we fucking just do it. And we get done. It's probably 11:30 at night or midnight. We just get fucking, twistered into this thing.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh yeah, done. And I remember getting in the van and us not really saying anything.
Yeah.
And then we get to the elevator.
And John
it
kind of
like breaks that, like, yeah, breaks the silence, like, yo, that kind of fucking was weird.
Yeah.
And we're all like, yeah, what just happened?
Yeah.
And so it's this like weird zone of like, well, maybe that was just he felt like the song was good enough. And we go in the next day and he gets in his head, he's like, after every song I'm gonna rip out all the cables and we're gonna start fresh.
Yeah.
Every day. And we're like, what is fucking happening? And then all of a sudden, you know, John has a piano in the fucking where his mic is, and we're recording everything at the same time. He's recording vocals while he's doing piano as we're in the other room doing everything.
Yeah.
And it got to a point where we're like spending 7 hours you getting drum sounds of just like doom,
yeah,
doom, and then like 2 hours of me like getting a bass sound. And then he's a guitar player and like has all this cool shit, so he got guitar tones in like 13 minutes.
Yeah.
And then John was kind of just set up how he always been, so it was like so long of us to just
playing our instruments just to get the sounds. Yeah. And then it would probably be like closer to like probably like 9 p.m. by the time we actually we would pick the song in the morning.
Yeah.
We would pick which song we were going to work on, and then we'd maybe grab like an acoustic guitar for like 2 minutes, and just he would be like, yeah, like that part's too long, that part's too short, like whatever. And then we'd start getting the bass and drum sounds for that, and that would take all day. And then by like 9 p.m. or 8 p.m. we'd start working out the new arrangement while we're playing live.
It's like, okay, this one's sad songs, do it.
and then we would just be like playing it, and then that would be, we'd be tracking it while we're figuring it out.
Yeah.
And like sometimes we'd play it like 4 or 5 times and that would be it.
Yeah.
And you know, sometimes we'd have to play it for a long time. I mean, I don't really remember having to do any, like,
I mean, we didn't do, there's no way we did more than
7 takes of a song. Yeah.
Like, but then, like, okay, so we would do maybe 3 takes of, like, this happened on maybe like Kennedy Curse, I remember, where we had it like, it was kind of heavy. It was like way more heavy. Yeah. And we do it that way, and he was like, it just kind of sounds like a shitty indie band. And we're like, okay. And he's like, try a different way. And all of a sudden it turns into this weird, like, Coldplay thing. And then he's like, that's kind of closer to it. And then John's like, I remember John being like, yo, I don't like this.
Yeah.
And then it ended up in this weird mixture
of the two. Yeah.
Of the two. And it was so strange. It was so bizarre. Because you really didn't have time to think about what you were doing.
No.
And the cool thing about it was it let off the pressure of you playing it.
Yeah, because everybody was playing.
Yeah, everyone's playing. So if you kind of fuck up and you don't bring it up, it's there. And it, like, no one catches it, it's there.
Then, and it's there, yeah.
And you're like, cool, I got away with that.
Exactly. Oh, I did that so many times.
Yeah, and it was, but like, it was
just about like how it felt, like if the song felt right.
I mean, it was crazy. I mean, it was straight up 1974.
Yeah,
and he's on the fucking ground with his shirt off, smoking a cigarette, and you know, we would do the take maybe third time or whatever, and you know, he's not like reacting, so we're like, oh, I guess we'll do it again, and then so you know, go it, and then all of a sudden you just see his hand go up with a cigarette, and then it's like, that's the one. And then we come in and listen to it. And you're like, and in your head, you're listening back. You're not even like listening. You're just like, what did happen?
Yeah.
Like,
and I mean, I think I just remember like being pretty amazed that like how good it sounded.
Oh, yeah.
For like, you know, I mean, I guess. I guess for people that are listening, you know, to give more context of like, generally, like, we would overanalyze the song, you know, when we're making other albums, you know, we would sit with it and we would totally take apart the song until we had it completely perfect. And then I would record the drums for it. And then those drums would be like, you know, taken, and you know, you'd copy and paste like a fill from take five, and I would put it on take
three.
Two, and you know, you just mix it around, and then you edit them to, you know, make them perfect, and then we record guitars for it, and we do like five different guitar parts, and then you put bass on it, and then you know, you do all these things, and then John finally puts like vocals on at the end, and he's gonna record each part six times, and then we're gonna take out a couple words from one take and a couple words from the other, and you know, mix it all together, and then there's harmonies and all this stuff, so it's more put together, and there's more time
spent on it, so you get it what you think is perfect.
Yeah. And this was like literally, I mean, I know that like when we say we recorded it to tape and live, I mean, I know some people do that, and they take like they record like a couple instruments at once, and then they overdub stuff. I mean, this was 100% live.
Yes.
Even John's vocals.
Yeah.
Even if there was a piano intro or an acoustic intro or something, we were just playing it.
Yeah. I mean, there's probably like four overdubs on the whole thing.
And then we'd go back, and then we'd listen to it after the take, and I mean, to me, it sounded like it does in the record, which sounds like a completed record. And we were just like, you know, at first we were like super nervous, and then it just became like the coolest thing in the world.
Oh, yeah.
And like, that's kind of like, I was saying that like romantic, like feeling that you have towards like the recording studio and like making music is what,
I mean, one of the,
that's what it's like. I mean, that
one of the coolest things we did was the song Forever Halloween.
Yeah.
It was, we had not made the song. It was, John had the verse and a chorus. And we just did it twice. And then we're like, okay, well, we'll just like fade out the end or something. We'll just like figure out the end. And also, we're just playing the end for like, I don't know how long it ends up being, but I think we did the song three times. And so tape, only it's like, I think it's 18 minutes or something that mm-hmm. like is as long as the tape was. So yeah. When we first did it, we did it forever long, fucked up. Second time, we like kind of got our bearings. The third time, we just went, and then at like what would have been 18 minutes on the tape, it stopped. That's why the record stops the way it does, is because we literally ran out of tape.
Yeah.
It and we had no plan. It wasn't like, oh, like, let's do this cool, like, tape thing because that's the way we record. It just happened. We're like, oh, well, that was cool.
Well, that's cool. Yeah. Yeah. We'll keep that.
And it's just so abrupt and, like, out of nowhere. It was so funny, like, because that's, like, one of the coolest things. And it kind of puts that whole record into, like, perspective. Like, that's what it was. It was, like, we did this whole thing this certain way, and the perfect way to actually end it was just happened. And just the tape going.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I mean, you know, I remember These Four Words, that was a song that we didn't even have on the list of, like, songs to pick from. And one of the songs we were working on just wasn't working out. And John played that demo, and we were all just like, why haven't we been considering this for the album?
Yeah.
And then the next day, Brennan brought in a piano player, like a guy that he knew that was just like a great player, and they literally, John sat right next to him and they did two takes.
Yeah.
And it was, I think this was the second take.
Mm-hmm.
Brendan really wanted the first take, but there was, John had made some mistake in it that was cool, and I think we ended up going with the second one. But I mean, the record, it was just very like, not overthought and just like pure, like this is, you know, and you know, really, I guess, like the way the record comes out and the way it sounds at the end of the day is all that matters, you know, like the process in which it's made, you know, that doesn't matter, you know.
Well, it just but it differs,
yeah, you know, but it differs. I mean, and what this did is this allowed us to just expose a different part of our band, you know, because when we write songs, we don't really think of them as like finished, because we know we're going to take them into the studio and we're going to like rip them apart, and that's when we're going to finish them. So that's how we wrote the record, and then we didn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
We just recorded them like that. So, I mean, they're complete songs. It's just we didn't overanalyze them.
Yeah,
you know, so that I think that's a part of the like appeal of the record, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. Yeah, I mean, because even now, I don't know if we could do it like that again. I mean, we could.
Yeah,
but no, we could. I don't. We're like,
it just would we want to? You know.
Yeah,
but I mean, I guess we get very bored of like the same process in the same way of things, which is why we like to record with a lot of different people, or if we are going to record with the same person like we have with Colby, we're trying to like change the constraints in which we have to make the record and change the place we're recording it and the equipment and all that stuff.
I think of anything that it needed to happen, because I think it was like in our heads it was like stamping the okay, we're a fucking band.
Yeah,
like
we're like not a produced band. We can just fucking play.
Yeah, and like it was,
you know, because we came from, you know, I think the like our era of bands when we came up, at least from like other bands, at least that were like a little bit older, maybe, you know, it was seen as like we're a band that, you know, got popular on the internet, you know, on MySpace, which was,
I mean, some probably like, viewed us as a boy
we
band.
A part,
with,
well, yeah, that's with, what I was gonna
with guitars.
Get at. It's like, you know, we were kind of like, you know, we got popular on the internet. We were probably one of the first batch of bands that happened to. You know, we wore matching outfits. We all kind of had the same haircut. We, you know, had kind of a polished, you know, sound on certain stuff, but that was just what we were doing. I mean, we weren't writing songs with other people. We were just like, we liked, I mean, that's, you know, we're kind of doing the same shit now with wearing the matching suits and stuff. It's like, we just, that's just what we were into, you know? Mm-hmm. And it kind of felt like that, like, stigma had always been on us, you know? And not that we, like, should have really cared, but I guess we did, and we let, you know, that kind of insecurity come to us. And I think, like, Forever Halloween was us getting rid of that, you know, mm-hmm. and us, like, even just for ourselves, you know, just, like, saying, like, fuck it. Like, this is, like, no, like, look, like, we're a fucking band. And, yeah. like, we don't care. Like, we're not making records for the intention of, I think I remember one of the things that I would always talk about around then is, like, when people would ask us, like, why our sound, like, has changed, like so much between records, is that, like, I thought that bands, and I guess I still do, is, like, bands that try to make their first record again, they're only doing that to try to make money or to try to be popular. Because that would yeah. be the only reason you would want to do that. It would be weird to be 27 versus 18 and to be still just trying to do the same thing. You know, it's like you grow so much, or you should, during that time, and you're exposed to new music and new things in life.
Yeah.
So the type of record you should make should change, and we felt like we were just staying true to that, which I think that we were, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you don't, like, I mean, when you're 17, like, you don't like the same shit when you're 25.
Yeah.
That's just impossible.
So we were just going along with that, and that seemed to be so different when most of our peers were trying to recreate what
they had. Not as many people like us anymore. Not as many people are coming to shows.
Let's go make the first record again.
Go back with the guy who made the first one and
do it. Do the exact same thing. Yeah.
It's just, I don't know. I've never, like, see, for me, even growing up, like, okay, there's a record in particular that I remember, like, people fucking being pissed about. Remember Finch?
Mm-hmm.
So What Is the Burn was, like, a big deal.
Yeah.
And people fucking loved that record. They were huge. And then they made that second record, Say Hello to Sunshine, and people fucking hated it.
Yeah.
And, like, just, like, boom, and they just went, and it crashed. And I remember when it came out, I was like, fucking really cool, pumped. Yeah. I was like, this is so cool. So, like, I never understood the, like, the change thing, like, affecting it. Like, that was never there for me.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I've always had a hard time. It's like when they don't change, like, that's when I give up on bands, is when they do the thing you're talking about. It's like,
yeah, let's make the same record again.
Well, you know, like, they'll make something kind of, like, different in push the boundaries on the second one, and then, like, it fucking, or, you know, whatever, second or whatever, they do it, and then they go, it doesn't do well, and then when they go back the next one,
mm-hmm.
and it just sounds so fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
And you're just like, well, I don't like this band anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, I know this is a lie. It's a bummer.
Yeah.
But it's exactly what you're, it's like, oh, not as many people, like, I'm not invited to the cool party anymore.
Yeah.
Like, oh, those people aren't coming to, the cool people aren't coming to my shows anymore.
Yeah.
When, like, if you just kept, I mean, that's what happened to us.
Yeah.
And we just kept doing stuff.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I think, like, Forever Halloween, like, was that, like, turning point of, like, hey, now we've proved ourselves, now we don't give a shit what anybody says.
Yeah.
You know? You know, and I remember, you know, we were just so excited about how we did it and excited about the process. We felt so, the confidence that we gained while mm-hmm. making that record, you know, was huge.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, it changed the everything.
Yeah.
I mean, it made us confident to go, like, go make a pop song and, like, us do it and be, like, pumped.
Yeah, and, like, you know, do it, like, cool, yeah.
Like, and it's like, oh, this is cool because we're, like, we're doing it right.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, like, the fact that, like, a song like Am I Pretty came out on the next record is, I mean, it was, like, awesome. Like, it's cool. Like, it was, like, yeah. It was, it's crazy.
Yeah. And that, So yeah, so I mean, we.
But it wasn't a reaction of like, oh, people didn't like Forever Halloween, because I think people did like it.
Yeah, and it, you know, so we finished the record, and Colby, who had recorded Pioneer and mixed Pioneer, we had him do all the mixing on it, and you know, I sent it to Brendan once he was done, and I think, you know, he sent me an email back and he said, sounds modern, and that's the only thing he said. we haven't seen him since.
John's talked to him.
John's texted with him a couple times, but I don't think he's very happy with that part of it. But we knew that that's how we liked records to sound, I guess. So, you know, we wanted it to be big and to be loud and stuff, even though it was recorded in that fashion. You know, I mean, we didn't, like, Colby didn't, he couldn't edit anything because everything was
recorded at the same time. Well, I mean, I remember complaining about, like, why is there only four mics on the drum set? Yeah. Everything's blended. I can only do so much.
Yeah. But
that's okay.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that record, I mean, I don't know how you feel, but, you know, at first, when we first started touring on that record, I guess, most of the touring on that record was a little more challenging than anything else that we had done before. It felt like... yeah, I mean, like, we were coming into our own as, like, this new thing, you know? We were coming into our own as, like, the post-Pioneer, you know, like, the chapter of our band. And, you know, it was taking people a longer time to react to the songs.
I think still.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it has, it's got big roots.
Yeah.
And I think...
Yeah, and I mean, there people... love that the album and it, I guess it kind of took us a little bit to realize that, and it took us a while to you know, when you're going out there and you're playing songs and it feels like they're not going over like you would have hoped, you know, you get frustrated
mm-hmm.
by that.
But I think somewhere in there, the fact of us not perfecting it, like the songs, has like skewed it for us.
Probably. Yeah.
You know? Like, I think that in our heads, there was more potential in like everything, mm-hmm. every song in that record.
But
it needed more. It needed it.
But it didn't.
Well, it didn't.
But which is why that, like, you know, an artist judging their own art is not a good a good thing, because the record is what it is and it's a great album,
mm-hmm.
you know.
But yeah. That's why you also you hear people like directors or whatever being like, oh, like it doesn't feel finished to me.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's kind of how
that album feels. Yeah.
But like someone else, it's just like, oh, that's cool. Like that's like a cool record, or
because they were,
or that's
a shitty record. They weren't there for the making of it.
Yeah. But and always in my head, it's like, ooh, there's like,
we could have done this. We could have done that. Yeah.
Which I don't have with any other record.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's what makes it what it is.
Yeah. And that's what makes it, you know, one of the most important records that we've ever made.
Also, that the timing in that for me personally was a really weird zone. It was like right when I started having like panic attacks, and I never had them before. And that was like right when we started that, it was like, boom, like every day I'd have one. And it was like that feeling. There's just like, I would almost like just like tunnel. Like I remember recording Kennedy Curse, and one part, like it was really dark in there. And then like, I almost fucking passed out, 'cause I was like mid recording, I was having a panic attack.
Yeah.
And it fucking sucked. It was just like such a weird time, like mentally in my head, that I wonder if any of that like fucking crept in at all.
Yeah.
I know John was in a really weird spot too. I know that was like, mm-hmm. it was dark.
Yeah.
Dark times.
Yeah. And sometimes the dark times bring out good music, but it makes it harder to look back on it, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think, I think like just over time that record keeps like meaning more and more to people.
Well, I keep wanting to play I want to play Forever Halloween like all the time, like the song.
Yeah.
Like I want to do it like all the time. Yeah. And then it's so fun. Like when we actually start doing it, it's just like, ooh, this is extremely slow.
Yeah.
I mean, but like, I don't. I always like playing Kenny Curse. I love Run is like. I mean, it's like kind of like a staple in most of the sets. Like, I think the ways we do it live, I think, kind of show like we change a lot in those songs.
It's and like I think what we would have done. Yeah.
Yeah, like I think it's like because I mean we played Kenny Curse from the get go, the way we heard it.
Yeah.
Like we play it like super heavy.
Yeah.
And I mean, but we've played that since the first time we toured on it, like toured with it.
Yeah.
So it's like, I think from the beginning there is like that, like, oh, this isn't done.
Yeah. And like with like Run, you know, we've done all kinds of different things to that song.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
It is what it is.
That's that record. And, thanks for listening to it.
Yeah.
Thanks for, you know, giving us a chance to take a risk, you know.
Yeah, I mean, the fact, there's something about the fact that we survived Pioneer and Forever Halloween says a lot of, like, the people who listen to us.
And, yeah, like, I mean, we have people that give a crap, like, past just, like, the surface level of being into a song. You know, they want to, like, dive into a record and what it means and, you know, all that stuff that for us is really important.
And like the stuff that we do with other bands too, you know?
Yeah.
So it's pretty wild. I think in even mentally that we got past records, I think.
Yeah.
I guess we're going to be around for a little while.
Yeah. We're going to be a band.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I like being in a band.
Yeah, we should keep doing it.
Cool.
We should keep doing it. So, cool, man. Well, I think we're going to keep messing around with this. I think maybe we'll dive into other records and other things and other parts and time periods and then just talk to. And
yeah, we'll get, I feel like the more and more we do it, the more we can be like, just say whatever we're feeling.
Yeah.
All right, so this podcast is brought to you by Saying Whatever You're Feeling. Go to saywhateveryourfeeling.com/org, and you can say whatever you're feeling. So thank you very much, Patrick.
Yeah, man. Thanks, guys. We'll talk to you next week.
Goodbye.
Bye.